All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football Podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I am excited. My playoff pants are going crazy right now. We are here. We finally made it.
Did you say playoff pants?
Yeah, playoff pants.
Oh, what do you... You're wearing your robe, so I just assumed you're not wearing pants.
You don't have playoff pants?
Oh, I do, but I didn't think you'd be wearing yours.
Well, then you are not as prepared as me.
I still doubt that you're wearing pants right now, but I'm going to roll with it.
All right.
Peter, it's been a while. We are a few weeks removed from our last episode. It is currently playoff season, my friend, and congratulations to you, sir.
And congratulations to you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you very much, good sir.
And it is you and me facing off, squaring off.
The Pellwood Martin playoff rematch.
That's right.
Actually,
is it a rematch?
No, I don't think we played each other. I think I lost in round one last week. We weren't in the same bracket.
Yeah,
there was some due to some very strategic bracketeering.
I don't know,
mind you. No, it's strategic. I said. Well, Pete, it's good to be facing you. I'm excited to discuss our matchup. There's been a lot of history covered in the past couple of weeks in the Pellwood Fantasy Football League. Is there absolutely? I mean, can we even come close to a semblance of describing the sheer amount of historic occurrence that has taken place in the league in the past few weeks?
No, it's really tough. I mean, we've had everything in the last few weeks. It's a shame we have dropped the ball on recording. We've had, you know, transactions and moves being made. Yeah. We've had scandal. We've had, you know, exciting scores on the scoreboard, close matchups. Yeah. Major shifts in the standings and the final playoff seeding. So there's a lot going on since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, you just hit the highlights. So let's roll back to the initial, the initial playoff prediction that you and I had. We were pretty much in alignment with a couple of questions. You care to review for us kind of what our prediction was around week 11 looking towards playoffs?
Yeah, tough to go back a little bit, but I think we were looking at it even further back, and we said, you know, we kind of have a top six group kind of locked in, and I think it included Jared.
Yep.
And perhaps Ben.
That's right.
You and me.
Of course.
And then I think it was perhaps Chewy was in that group as well, and Brock, I think. And I think we said perhaps, you know, one or two of those teams would fall out, and we're kind of speculating who it might be.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure we named Ben as one of the teams that might fall out.
I know for a fact we did.
And the other was a little bit more of a question mark. That's like right. Maybe me, maybe, I don't know. But we did, in fact, see Ben fall out. We saw Chewy fall out as well, hard and fast. And so Ben was looking pretty good. He was sitting atop the Challengers division for much of the season, looking pretty strong and secure in his spot there. But Derek charged hard late, as we expected him, given the strength of his team. And Ben took a tough loss in week 12, certainly. That definitely could have gone his way.
That's right.
But Scott rose like a phoenix and crushed his spirits. Mm. And then he did not have a strong showing in week 13 and lost the division, lost the points tiebreaker, and just lost everything. So tough finish to the year for Ben, but it was certainly exciting.
Respect. He lost.
Dignity.
Probably lost a bet. Some cash.
I did not make a wager with him this year like I did last year, but I would have.
I heard he lost his keys that day. I mean, just things were falling apart.
It was like a country music song.
That's right. All right. So that was definitely part of the march up to and through week 13. You mentioned a little bit of a scandal. Care to use the platform to, I know we don't want to open up, you know, it's kind of a, we're in the era that we're in today. I know there's a scandal every week, and the country is pretty exhausted at this point with the sheer amount, the inundation of weekly scandal. But also, one scandal is kind of replaced week after week, and it's actually to your advantage when another scandal comes into play, because old news just fades away. So, sorry to bring up old news, but give us a snapshot of what drama went down.
Yeah, I guess we haven't really had a scandal since last year when I benched a bunch of players in the final week of the season to manipulate playoff seedings. This year,
which is a fair and valid point and strategy,
right? Totally solid strategy, except for when it blows up in your face like it did on me.
I didn't say it was good.
That is results-based analysis. The process was strong. The results were bad.
You took a risk. It was a good risk.
And so this year, there was just an honest mistake made by me at some point mentioning that the trade deadline was Thanksgiving Day, which makes sense to me that it's Thanksgiving Day. I feel like it's normally Thanksgiving Day, but Thanksgiving was very early this year. It's the earliest possible day Thanksgiving could be, because the 1st of November was a Thursday, and so, you know, the 4th Thursday of the month was the 22nd, so just absolute earliest Thanksgiving could be. Mm-hmm. And I failed to make the proper connection that the trade deadline was the following week. So I referenced it on the podcast. I may have referenced it in a text to Ben at some point that the trade deadline was Thanksgiving, and, you know, gotta take action, get those trades done. It did not influence any trades that were made, but there was certainly some question as to the integrity of the commissioner's office, and if there was any deception going on to manipulate deals, which I don't believe that there was. But of course, I am the I'm the one sitting in power, as it were, and not really fair for me to be my own judge and jury. But that is,
and yet here we are.
And yet here we are. So.
Because our league is yet to establish such a justice-based venue to provide you with arbitrary judge and jury, you continue to serve as your own.
I welcome any arbitrary judge and jury.
I think we got like token judge and jury in the form of the Pelwood Van Trapp family in their what was little more than a publicity stunt.
just tangled web weaving over here.
Yeah, it's all right. Well, I think that bracketeering is a valid and very to be considered approach. I don't think that anybody should approach the playoffs without at least examining week 13. And determining the best possible bracket window, even if you're going into the consolation bracket. I think that there is room for you to use your bench and your roster to your strength and attempt to do your very, very best and make the best decision based on the evidence in front of you.
Indeed. Indeed.
But am I going to give you a heck for it publicly? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every good story has an antagonist, and
it just seems like I'm always in the center of these conversations and discussions, and I'm not sure how exactly that happens.
Well, it's because you like to win, and and you know, you've mentioned before that heavy is the head, sure, and maybe there's a magnifying glass over you. You know, you're operating underneath a finer, call it a closer microscope or lens of what it is you're doing, how you're operating. However, you also like to win, and you're going to exploit all options available in order to help you do so. Some people call that good game and competitive edge. Some people, namely a coach who authored a lengthy rebuttal to certain behavior in years past. I will refrain from naming the rookie that did such a thing last year in his first year.
Mm-hmm.
But the that argument was that it was not in line with the spirit of the game. My understanding of the spirit of the game is to win the season, and so I don't think I fault you there. However, I could see why somebody might make or take offense, rather. Typically, and you know, for me, I was on the receiving end of to point. It doesn't really feel good to be the ideal schedule on somebody else's mind. You know what I mean? Like, oh, look what this guy's doing. He's subbing players out.
You're preaching to the choir this year. I am the hot girl in the high school that everyone wants to dance with.
Yeah. About that. So is that a metaphor or are we speaking? Okay. So all that to say, yeah, a little bit of drama goes a long way. And as always, the real deal is jealousy and people thinking, man, I should have thought of that. And I should have been looking at that and feeling a little inadequate. And what do? We take out our inadequacies and insecurities in the form of a defensive verbal attack. And you just have to bear the brunt of that, Kamish. Heavy as the head.
Yeah. You know, like Bill Belichick keeps finding ways around the NFL rules to gain a competitive advantage. And they keep changing the rules to try to stop him. You know, I'll bear that same mantle. And I'll take that as a compliment.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, Pete, I don't often get to say that I was right, but you and I both discussed my difficult schedule and the back end of the run towards the playoffs. Just really, really thankful that I was able to lock in with points for my position in the playoffs around week 10. Because it was not smooth sailing after the fact, and my prediction came true. I lost out. Now, granted, I should not have. It is a crime that I lost to a kicker in the last, not even quarter, last minutes of a Monday Night Football game, but as is my, my historic luck. But it was a good win for Chris, and it made the difference in his run, and he's now in the playoffs with us. However, again, I'm thankful that I made it ahead of the fact. I would have liked to have finished better than 7-6. I think my team on the front half of the season was better than a finishing 7-6 team, considering I was in the top three for a good 8-9 weeks of the season, and I still sit in the top three of points four. However, I am glad to be in the playoffs. I'm glad I'm facing you week one. Not excited to be facing Jared if I beat you.
Yeah, as we enter the playoffs, I feel like there have been some late changes to the playoff teams. Or I guess really for Chris, who has come on really strong as of late, and his team is on the upward trajectory, while you and I are going the other direction. Your team is kind of sputtered to the end here with some subpar scores. Losing your last three. My team is dropping like flies because Kareem Hunt is a terrible person.
Terrible.
And
terrible human being.
Both my tight ends were injured for the season in the same week. And so it's been a lot of movement going on trying to replace what's been lost. And, I feel like you and I are entering the playoffs with not our best teams. That we've been able to field so far this season. But I am thankful that we're matched up against each other because it should be a good matchup. And I think the first round matchups that we do have between you and me and between Brock and Chris are really close.
I agree.
I'm really excited to see how they play out. And if I flip over and look at the constellation ladder, there's also some close matchups over there as well, with Michael and Ben arguably having the strongest teams in the constellation ladder, arguably having stronger teams than you or I.
We mean factually.
Yes, definitely. And so we're very fortunate not to be facing them.
That's right.
And but they're facing off. That'll be a close matchup. Andy and Stott are facing off, and that looks like that'll be a close matchup. The constellation ladder really matters this year. Because we have got the prizes to the highest score of the week. Anyone can win that. And we've got the prize for winning the consolation letter, and we've got the punishment for losing it entirely. So there's going to be a lot at stake every week all throughout the season for every team. And it's going to be a fun finish.
I love it. I love it. Well, any other recaps that we need to discuss? Otherwise, we can just get into the tipping of our hats to the official incumbents and challengers finals as of the regular season, and wave goodbye to those who are not in the playoffs. Anybody you want to draw attention to that did not make the playoffs but had a spectacular season?
You know, I think Michael and Charles both finished with a 6-7 record. And they, it's almost surprising me that they finished 6-7 because they haven't really been in the playoff picture for the last couple of weeks. Because basically they couldn't get to 7 wins, and you had to get to 7 wins. But 6-7 is a really good record. Charles started 0-4 and overcame that to win 6 of his last 9 games. It's a good showing for him in his rookie season. So definitely a tip of the hat to Charles for a solid effort. He made bold moves, and some worked out, some didn't. But I hope he had fun. Hope he enjoyed himself, and I look forward to seeing him coming back as a even smarter and stronger competitor after a year of experience under his belt. And then Michael had some really big scores in a couple of weeks, but just trying to string together consistency every week, and he caught some bad luck with a couple of losses. So he was right there too, and I think he's continues to be sort of a sneaky player in the lead because he's mostly silent, but he does field strong teams each year, and week in, week out, you don't really see him putting a dud out there. So definitely want to give credit to Michael as well.
Absolutely. I would echo your credit to them, and I feel like it would be a prudent moment for me to just pull off to the side of the road here and really welcome the CFL rejects in the form of Derek Irwin to the 2018-19 playoffs. Earlier this year, a statement was made based on the evaluation of his team that he was lacking certain firepower, did not see what would I at that point believe to be a credible momentum builder worth of players on his team. I was wrong, and and Derek is on a 4-game winning streak headed into the playoffs. I don't remember the last time he was in the playoffs, but he came in roaring, and he is finishing the season remarkably ahead of our 12-1 team, Jared Lorenz, who racked up a total of 1,958.2 points for Derek, coming in on top, even though he is rocking what is, I believe, an 8-5 record. Is that accurate?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He topped us out with 2020.2 points for at the end of the season. Somehow, Jared managing to only have 1,621 points against him this season. It's like all of us were scared of him when we played him. We're like, a little nervous to play him. Whereas yep. Derek managing to squeeze into the playoffs, have a massive points for the season, and he did that with the, I don't know where the rank is, but he did it with 1,853.7 points against him this year. Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and as we enter the playoffs, Jared and Derek are the number one and number two seeds. They're clearly the number one and number two. If you were to pick right now, who would you say is the favorite? Because they're definitely the favorites to go all the way based on the points they've put up this season. Who would you kind of give the nod to in terms of one versus two? Who would you take?
That's a really good question. Part of me really wants to see them play each other in week 3 of the playoffs just because they are two really, really good teams. I would say that obviously track record would say that Jared has more of the momentum plus success rate than Derek. And so based off of that, Jared is kind of the easy call here. You know, they're both awesome teams, so to call Derek an underdog is kind of unfair. But if you're just looking based on performance for the entire season, I guess Derek would qualify as the underdog in the matchup. I think Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that's the guy has carried Derek, and he's been just amazing. Whereas you've had some quarterback troubles in the form of Aaron Rodgers over on Jared's team, and he's had to kind of pick and choose who he's going to put up in that spot, Dak Prescott being his other option, and who'd have thunk the Cowboys would have made a playoff run when it was looking like their whole team was about to implode and people were going to get their heads lopped off out of coaching positions. So a couple of just surprises inside there. However, if push came to shove and I had to put my money down, I think I want to go for Derek. Tell you the truth, I think I want to take the semi-underdog and go for Derek. I that's where I'm at. How about you?
I'm with you. Actually, these are the teams to beat. I think everyone's going to be kind of chomping at the bit to get a shot at them and knock them off. But they'll be the heavy favorites in the second round of the playoffs after coming off their byes. Regardless, one thing about Derek, you said you weren't sure the last time in the playoffs. It was actually 2015. Last time he made the playoffs. And then before that, it was in 2013. Before that, it was 2011. But
I'm seeing a pattern.
Every time Derek's made the playoffs, he has come away with some hardware. He finished in second place in 2015. He won the lead in 2013, and he was in third place in 2011. So if he makes the playoffs, he's going to be on the podium. Oh, so I'm taking Derek. I feel like he Pat Mahomes and Saquon Barkley. Yep. And Juju Smith-Schuster, he's just a really strong youth movement to his team, and I think he's gonna go far.
And it really should be noted that I might have a harder time making that call if James Conner was healthy.
It's tough to know what his health is gonna be like next week. I think it's not a serious injury. I think he'll be healthy next week, so it'll be interesting to see, because that could that could seriously impact Jared's team. It'll be possibly good for you or me. That's sweet if he has a lagging injury. Maybe they say, hey, you know what? He needs to just kind of rest up and get ready for the playoffs and does not need to play next week. I would not at all be opposed to that if I were to be the one facing Jared. So, and I would, of course, wish the same for you begrudgingly after having lost to you this week. But
I would indeed to you, sir, too. We're in this together.
And you, sir.
All right. Well, how about we do some head-to-heads?
Let's get to the task at hand. Where do you want to start? Let's start with you and me. We've got the lower scoring. You can't really pick a game of the week between the two playoff matchups this week. You and me and Brock and Chris, they're both within about 5 points of each other in terms of projected score. No one played any players from the Thursday night game this week, even though Derrick Henry was out there for anyone to have and take an easy 50 points and almost guarantee a victory, but no one was shrewd enough to do that. So you and me, I am currently projected for 131.6 points. You are projected for 135.8 points. I don't know where to begin. How do you feel? How do you feel about your team entering into this week?
Well, as the last 4 weeks of my life have not been very awesome, I can tell you that I don't feel great about it. I am thankful to be playing you this week, not because that gives me an edge or anything, but because I think it keeps me close. I'm hoping to find out I've got some questions. I've got some hard start sit decisions this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, what's crappy about it is that it's like, how do I get an average score out of my start sit decisions? It's not even like, man, if I could make the right decisions, I'll really come out on top here. It's like, no, I need to make the right decision so I can get like an average score that is somewhat competitive, which kind of sucks. And so I need DeSean Jackson to be healthy this week, and I don't know if that's going to be the case. He's up against New Orleans, and so that I like that juicy matchup for him. Alvin Kamara up against Tampa Bay. That's a really juicy matchup for me, but I think there's going to be some load share out there. I think Ezekiel Elliott up against Philadelphia is actually kind of be a little tough. I don't love my matchups this week. That's what's really hurting me. So you'll probably see a bench turnover at some point this week. I need to make some decisions on who's going to play where. Ultimately, I hope that it's going to come down to Matt Ryan's performance. He has been really, really having a tough time. And his monster number two quarterback, number three quarterback in the league, he took a break. He crushed Washington and then decided he was just going to take it easy on the way out. So he, for the past 3 weeks that I have lost, he has scored sometimes less than half of his average, if not about a third of it. So I don't feel great about it, to tell you the truth. I need Matt Ryan to stick it out. He's got an average matchup against Green Bay this week, so we'll see what that looks like. That organization's kind of been, you know, flying apart. So I don't know if that's good or bad for me. I don't know if they're going to rally and say, we can do this, or if they're just completely imploding and are gonna march it out. We'll see. How are you feeling about your team?
Oh, I feel good about my defense and my kicker.
Well,
and so playoffs, you know,
playoffs rise and fall on special teams. They say that all the time.
so when that's where you're most confident, it tells you a lot about your team. So I've kind of tried to put together the best team I can. I planned ahead for my defense and my kicker.
Yeah.
And I got them lined up, and I feel good about them. The Chargers at home versus Cincinnati for both the defense and the kicker is pretty good. Right. I also got the Chargers quarterback at home against Cincinnati, so there's probably that's nice. A limit to the number of points that the Chargers can score on Cincinnati, but I'm going to bump up against that limit one way or another. So probably not great for my team to have all three of those, but I feel good there, and the rest is, man, it's a bit of a crapshoot. Got some wild cards. Maybe I get a boost from Cortland Sutton, who I acquired by trading away T.Y. Hilton. When my tight ends went down, I got Sutton and David Njoku for Cleveland at tight end.
Matchup this week. They're up against Carolina.
Yeah, that's should be a good matchup if they throw him the ball. Cleveland's a little bit tough to tell what they're going to do week to week, but Emmanuel Sanders is out for the year with an Achilles injury, so maybe that helps Cortland Sutton this week, and he has a good score, you know, above average score. That would be nice to see, but there's not a lot that I can hang my hat on here. So I think I'm fairly projected at 132 points.
Yeah.
I'm scared of your running backs. I feel like both Ezekiel Elliott at home versus Philadelphia and Kamara on the road at Tampa Bay. Those are really good matchups for them. So I hope the rest of your team falters, because I don't think I'm going to be putting up a big score this week. I kind of need you to come in well below average.
Yeah, and sorry, we haven't had the opportunity to follow up on our trade, but sorry about Matt Breida.
Yeah, sorry about Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Breida had like one good week.
He did.
Since the trade, Mack has not really been there. He's been below average. So
yeah, that's
right. That's not a nothing trade.
We're
unlikely to start either one of them.
Exactly. And I'm just glad that I'm not being beat by Breida, or you're not going to get beat by Marlon.
That's true.
And I'm glad that we didn't have an opportunity for that to take place, and I'm glad that I probably would have had Breida on the bench the week that he went off for you anyway, so no harm, no foul.
we will it's like we're fighting each other left-handed. when we traded.
Yeah,
we traded our right hands to each other, and now we're having to fight left handed.
You know what? What's going to happen this week, Pete, is that one of us is going to win, and this final is going to be like 106-101.
Yeah, and then there's going to be like five teams in the consolation ladder that are just totally pissed.
I know
that were the teams in the playoffs, and they're not.
Hey, we got the job done early.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
All right.
We're just saving all the points for next week.
That's right.
When we take down Goliath.
That's right. All right. Well, how about we talk about a much more significant game, the number 6 seed and the number 3 seed going up. We got Chris Windsor squeezing into the playoffs and Brock Waskow squeezing into the playoffs. Excited for both of them. We've got a pretty strong matchup going up against each other. They're currently projected 144.2 and 138.5. Chris did not put Corey Davis in. I heard there might have been some coaching to do so. I was just trying to read between the lines in the GroupMe. But on the other side of the ball, Brock did not play D.D. Westbrook, who was Jacksonville's only point scorer this evening in their crushing defeat. So what do you think about this matchup, Brock, Chris?
Definitely two stronger teams than you and I, but even as I look at them, there's still some spots where there's question marks. And you'd think like the playoff teams are the best of the best, and they come into the playoffs and there's just no holes in the lineup. And I guess that would be the case if Jared and Derek were playing. We would say, they're solid everywhere. They got no holes in the lineup.
I mean, we could go ahead and pretend that they're playing each other this week if that's more interesting. We could just say.
I mean, what's the point of talking about two absolutely spectacular teams who are, just flawless? Well, so,
because it would be fun to see if they were pinned against each other this week, who would win?
That's a
fascinating concept.
Well, we can wait 2 weeks and we'll do it then. So, so Brock's got Gus Edwards in his lineup who is on the road at Kansas City, and since Gus Edwards has no involvement in the passing game for Baltimore, they're going to need to keep that game really close against Kansas City, which I think is going to be a tall order on the road. And then he's got Chris Thompson in his lineup in the flex spot, who normally Chris Thompson is a great play, especially as a flex spot, kind of that third running back on your team. But he's coming back from injury, and he wasn't very good, even though he played last week. So not exactly sure what you're going to get from him. He's really good in the first 2 weeks of the year, but since then has done nothing because of injury. So a couple of question marks there on Brock's side of the ball. Similarly for Chris, he's got Antonio Callaway, who started over Corey Davis, which was it would seem to be the right decision, but still Callaway is a big wild card in terms of what he's going to give you each week. And then Justin Jackson, the Chargers running back, who I think is going to be a good play because he performed well on the road at Pittsburgh, and now he's at home against Cincinnati. And Melvin Gordon is out. Austin Eckler is apparently wearing down a little bit as the season goes on, so that should mean good things for Justin Jackson. But again, it's a big question mark because he has not he has not touched the ball more than 10 times in a game yet this season. So who knows what he's going to give you.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, we've got two of the best tight ends in the league head-to-head this week, which is pretty fun, as thin as that position has been. I mean, it's just Zach Ertz has been absolutely lights out, and the amount of points he's put on for Brock this season has been incredibly dependable. Likewise, Travis Kelce has he just came off of a huge game against Oakland. I mean, absolutely massive. Two touchdowns, 168 yards. There is just a great matchup there. Zach is going up against Dallas in Arlington. Travis Kelce is going up against Baltimore. They're playing in Kansas City, so probably a little bit stronger of a matchup for Travis this week. I like Gus Edwards this week a lot against Kansas City. I know they're on the road, but Kansas City's run defense is a little weak, and so I think that's a good pickup right there. I don't think that it's going to matter because I think Christian McCaffrey is going to run all over Cleveland.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this in the group chat earlier this week, but like last year, Todd Gurley won the playoffs for anyone that had Todd Gurley because he went absolutely bonkers in, you know, in the fantasy football playoffs in weeks 15 and 16. He scored like 40 and 50 points or something like that. Ridiculous.
It's like he knew. And he's like, there are fantasy playoff teams counting on me everywhere.
And now Christian McCaffrey has gone over 30 points in 4 out of the last 5 weeks. They're relying on him more because apparently Cam Newton's shoulder is kind of messed up right now. So it's easier to throw a short pass to McCaffrey and give him the ball a bunch. And, you know, he plays every snap for Carolina. He's got like a 97% snap rate. You know, it's the Gurley and the Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson of old usage that you want out of a running back, because, you know, he's catching at least 5 balls every game. In the past 2 weeks, he's caught 11 and 9 passes, and, you know, running the ball another 15 times on top of that. So just really high value work for McCaffrey. You know, a pretty soft schedule. You know, at Cleveland, and then at home, home versus New Orleans and home versus Atlanta to close out the season. You know, McCaffrey might be that cheat code in the playoffs this year. Yeah. So, you know, he was Chris's keeper. He, you know, stuck with him all year, even though he probably started the season a little, you know, less than expectations, mostly because he wasn't getting touchdowns. And then now the touchdowns are coming in buckets, and he's, you know, just been an awesome player to have as a fantasy asset. So okay. I think McCaffrey is the strongest player going this weekend, and I think that definitely works to Chris's favor, even though Brock does have the higher projected total as a team.
So I'm looking at the top 5 averages in fantasy football pointage right now. Do you think you could guess those players, the top 5 by average across the 2018 season?
Any position. All right, Mahomes.
He's number one, 31.1 points. He has 373.7 points for the season. He's ranked QB2.
Gurley?
Todd Gurley is number two, 28.2 points average. He's put up 338.9 points.
Saquon Barkley
is number three. 26.1 points average, a total of 312.6 points for the season.
Tyreek Hill
is not in the top 20.
Not in the top 20. McCaffrey?
McCaffrey is number four, 25.2 points per game, 302.6 total.
And the last one's probably a quarterback, but I'm not sure.
It is a quarterback.
I'm not sure who the number two quarterback is, actually.
He has...
Is it Aaron Rodgers?
Nope. He has set a lot of records this year.
Drew Brees,
24.8 points, just under 300 points for the year.
That one's a surprise to me because the Saints have been so run-heavy, especially since Mark Ingram came back from suspension.
Michael Thomas made all the difference for New Orleans' passing game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Brock's not Michael Thomas going up against Tampa Bay this week, but doesn't get much better in terms of matchup there.
It's gonna be a friggin' shootout.
It'll be really interesting to see how New Orleans plays the game, because maybe they take control and they just run it all the time, which is good for you with Kamara.
Yep.
Or maybe they, you know, come out throwing and, you know, try to build Breeze's MVP case. which they might do, and that would be good for, you know, Thomas, and it's still good for Kamara. So you're trying to come out on the good end of it either way.
If they're
running or throwing, Kamara's gonna be getting his share of it.
Yeah, we'll find out. We will see. So who's your pick between Brock and Chris?
It's a tough one. I think I'm going to take Chris just because he's got the best player.
Yep.
But I think as a team, Brock's got a probably stronger overall team. You know, Brock's wide receivers are really good with Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins and Robert Woods. I do think Robert Woods' matchup at Chicago is a tough one to stomach, and I think we're going to have to lower expectations for him a little bit there, just as Chicago's defense is pretty good, especially at home. So I'm going to take Chris.
I agree. I would have said that D.D. Westbrook is probably the better matchup. I realize that's hindsight, and I don't mean to claim that, but there you go. So I think I have to agree with you because we've seen the cheat code pass catching running back make a big difference in years past, and Chris has the best one. So
you know, Brock does have Tariq Cohen on the other side, who caught 12 passes last week. So that's something to keep an eye on too. He could be a difference maker.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm not convinced. I'm pulling for him. I want this one to be close. I think that this week, I mean, obviously the bye weeks are still included. Those on bye and those in the consolation bracket are still included in the top score. But I would love to see Brock and Chris duking it out for top score this week.
That'll be fun. Looks like Chris's team will be done with the 3:30 games on Sunday. That's when his last players play. Brock saw two going in the Sunday night game. And then you and I have an interesting dynamic. Your defense and my top wide receiver are on opposite teams and playing each other on Monday night. So that is going to be a sweat if we're close on Monday night.
I really, really did not want to play the Seahawks this week. I really did not count on anybody picking up my defense. And I made my standard bid, and that was my folly, because Chris Chewy Clark is good at tracking my standard bid and knew exactly what he needed to do to pick up Tennessee's defense over the top of me this week, which he did just fine. And everywhere else, he picked up a few players and then some with the amount of cash he dropped in the waiver wire this week. Really, really valuing the opportunity to secure a run here in the consolation, it seems.
Yeah, or just being a jerk and trying to block everyone else.
I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt on the air, but yeah, no, total jerk.
Yeah, but you know, I am thankful that he went all in on one player, on Jalen Samuels, who's the backup for James Conner, and didn't split it with like a $50 bid for Samuels and Jeff Wilson Jr., who's Breida's replacement in San Francisco, because if I did not have Jeff Wilson Jr., I would be...
Oh, you'd be toast.
I would be totally toast, because I think he's a decent play this week, even though it's a kind of tough matchup against Denver. I think that's a decent play. So I put all my last dollars into grabbing Wilson, and I could have been blocked by both Chewy and Derek, but thankfully I snuck it in. I feel like this is a steal for me, because now I've got Wilson or Breida, depending on who's healthy. I can play them, and hopefully that makes a difference for me.
Yep. Well, good luck to you, sir.
And to you. I really hope for close matchups across the board. And I hope those in the constellation ladder stay engaged. You know, I don't think we should spend a lot of time going through the matchups, but we'll definitely keep an eye on how those results turn out and monitoring the implications for the following weeks after that.
Well, Pete, you may have noticed that the company I cannot name for legal purposes right now, but you may have noticed that we were missing a certain plug in the in the entry point. The reason being the fee for ads during the playoff season goes way up, obviously.
Oh, wow.
Just because the listenership is that much more engaged. Our Nielsen ratings continue to demonstrate the higher audience volume, and so.
Sure. Peak rating pricing.
Yeah, of course. So we're still working out the negotiation contracts within that arrangement, but I'm sure that we will be back at our classic typical involvement from those that we love and support.
Well, you got to make money. It's just capitalism.
That's right. And I got to say, I've been doing a pretty good job with it the last few episodes, namely the last one episode. I finally nailed the sponsorship intro, so I feel like that. So that
raising your fee because you figured out how to talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Good job.
That's right.
Very professional of you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, so what is the post Thanksgiving pre-Christmas Elwood household buzz doing, and how are perceptions towards fantasy football, and how's your family feeling about the fact that you got into the playoffs?
So I told my wife about my decision to bench a player last week of the season to kind of make sure I was facing you this week. Mm-hmm. And she just shook her head and said, "You did that last year and it didn't work. And now you're just dooming yourself to lose again." Mm-hmm. And she said, "You're being cocky, just like you were when you drafted Le'Veon Bell in both of your leagues this year."
Oh, expecting, she brought that up. Ouch.
Yeah, she did. Yep. Expecting.
How did that feel, Pete? Just
she's right. She's always right, and I can't deny it. Hitting the nail on the head. So, I'm just flying in the face of the good advice from my better half, and just kind of throwing myself at the mercy of the fantasy gods to see how poor my team is right now, and just mm-hmm. take pity on me with a good result. So, I'm being tossed through the waves and the wind.
Okay.
Of the all right. playoff seas.
All right. All right.
I did want to mention, I'm excited about I'm excited about the playoffs for sure. I'm also excited about this off season because I've made note of at least five things that I want to put to vote in the off season.
Oh yeah.
And talk about rule changes and that sort of stuff. So
all
right. I don't want to get into all of them right now, but I do have a strong feeling that we're going to just continue to improve our league, find new ways to adapt the rules to make it the best for everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to having that conversation in the offseason.
I would like to continue to bring to the table week by week a sense of actual impact from decisions and be able to bring a little bit more numerical comparisons. And so I've been working on that. I'm excited. I just think it'll, I don't want to bore anybody with too much data. I think there's a line, but I like the idea of keeping track of, I've been working on one stat that I call bang for buck, and I'm excited about that one. I'm excited about, the keeper power as well. That'll be a fun little stat week to week to have a keeper ranking and a value for dollar comparison as we just dive into the deeper side of analytics, because ESPN, all these promises of new and improvement pieces to their web design and interface. Promises. We'll see.
Hey, they're hiring two people.
Whoa. Well.
Well,
your dad's retired. Maybe he could apply and use his time.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
That'd be good. Well, yep, I'm excited about that too, Pete. I tip my hat to you, sir. Great job managing the regular season. As much as we like to trump up a little bit of drama, I would say that all in all, you can rest assured that the regular season was very well administered, sir.
Yeah, well, thank you. I wrote the final power rankings this week, and mm-hmm. I feel as though my administrative duties are essentially done, and I can fully focus and engage on enjoying the playoffs mm-hmm. and managing my team the best I can.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair. I think you did a great job, and you can sit back, relax, and know that it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. We could go the NPR route.
Oh, yes, here today.
Seth Martin, who's filling in for Peter Elwood, who is studying the Himalayan ridgeback mongoose.
Yes, and don't forget, later in the program, a riveting review of 27 types of cheese found at your local Costco.
Well, I hear this guy named Henry did something worth noting, but other than that...
Yeah, it's not really worth noting when he's on the waiver wire. Can't do anything.
Man, how's Ben feeling about that, by the way?
Did Ben have him?
As of November 25th, I think, is when he dropped
him. Whoops.
Them.
Whoops. Mm-hmm. What did he drop him for?
Mm.
Let's see. Transactions. Team. Old dog. New tricks. Search. Added Dan Bailey.
Oh, it's going to the group me right now. It's going to the group me. Oh,
yeah. No. Grab that screenshot.
I got it. Wait. I got it. You're done. I got it. Right. My prediction of going out on a 3-game losing streak came to fruition.
Nailed it.
Sometimes it really sucks being right.
No, you got the matchup you wanted, though.
I know. I didn't mind that. I wasn't complaining.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm certainly gonna, you know, draw attention. I'm gonna create some drama, of course.
Obviously,
obviously, I'm not gonna just let you get away with something. But
right,
I mean, who cares that it's in my favor? And
yeah, Brock was texting me. He's like, "What's Seth whining about?" I'm like, "He just likes when people ganged up on me and there's drama."
It's true. I do.
Like, it was bothering Brock. Like, why is he whining?
He's not.
he's just trying to stir the pot.
It's just ratings, man. Anything for ratings.
You're such a whore.